Excel. Aba.
Sports Talk with Lamar and Said. Once again, that was our new intro. Said is not here with us today. He's in Kentucky with his family, so wish him the best of luck there. I'm joined, as usual, with my partner, Dave, the Boss Rich.
Let's go down.
You know, before we start off with today's news, I just want to say that last week I got to commentate for the baseball game.
Oh, you
for
did?
Roosevelt.
You pulled that off.
Yes, I
all
did.
All right, there we go.
So, yeah, it was a great experience, you know.
How does this work? I mean, they have like a press box or something?
You know? Yeah, they do. I mean, it's not the fanciest, but
I get that.
They do have a press box. There's Alexian Field in Schaumburg.
Is it like a minor league stadium type thing?
Yeah, the Schaumburg
nice.
Flyers used to play there. It was a doubleheader. First game, Roosevelt lost 8-3, but they turned around to win the second game 6-2. We saw a pretty good pitching performance by Ruben Lomelli.
We only had two runs.
Yeah, you know, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. Looking at Roosevelt's pitching, that was much needed. Like,
well, yeah, you can't lose if the other team doesn't score.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he looks like, I don't know if Roosevelt has found their ace yet, but he looks like he's the leading front getter for that position. He pitched a very well ball game. He actually had some jams, and he got himself out of the situation.
That's key.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a great experience, I want to say. You know, technical difficulty here and there with GarageBand messing up.
You can expect that.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, it was a great experience, I want to say. I was glad to see Roosevelt win because we haven't had too many victories in baseball this season. So
right,
to say,
a doubleheader can be pretty lengthy. Trust me, a doubleheader can be pretty lengthy if not playing too well.
Oh, you know what? It's funny because, you know, Jeff, my sports director, he and I were hungry throughout. So I promise you, he was saying, I'm hungry, like, I don't know, every 5-10 minutes, which I think is hilarious. I didn't have any problem, but I'm like, man, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, but there were a pizza in here.
Yeah, no, we saw like a Pizza Hut box.
Well, that's what's so funny. I remember I was watching this Cub game a few weeks ago when they were playing the Dodgers, and it was Friday. I was going to order a pizza that night, and the Wrigley has some new pizza deal they got there, so literally they brought in a few pizzas. For about 2 innings, all they said, we're not going to do play-by-play, and they were just eating pizza and seeing how good it was. I'm like, for 2 innings, come on here.
I wish we could say the same. The pizza was all gone by the time we got there.
Yeah.
And like, Jeff and I, at the ballparks, there were no, like, none of the vendors were open.
Yeah.
And,
see, was there a good turnout? Like, did people show up for the game?
If I mean 20 people, I guess.
Hey, you know what? That's more than my team, so I'll take that every day.
I sure it wasn't the best turnout, but right. You know, Jeff and I are thinking, like, come on, even if it's a little turnout, everybody eats food at a ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
You
right.
Have the vendors open.
Right.
It was just
at least one something. I mean,
I know. I mean, not even a man out there was selling. I mean, you could have at least had that.
Right, right.
I mean, come on.
Maybe a parent do a little tailgating.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were left out to dry. Like, I don't even think the vending machines were working. So.
The vending, yeah. They wanted them all locked up.
But, yeah, it was a great experience. And
that sounds good, yeah.
I definitely hope to do it again soon. But with that being said, on to the topics, you know, NBA playoffs obviously are still going on. We're in the conference semifinals.
I was so mad because, like, is it just me or Miami Boston plays tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
But see, their series in Miami ended earlier than the Bulls, and they're playing. Because yesterday I go to this place, they have the Heat game, and I'm like, wait a minute, they're playing now? It was like maybe like 4 or 5 o'clock. And then it was just a replay of game one.
Yeah.
You know, there was no games on yesterday. I was so bored.
Well, I mean, I started to wonder why that was the case. And my best guess is because it was Cinco de Mayo. Maybe that's why there were no games.
Oh, yeah. You know, coming from a team that has Los heat on it. How many times a season?
Yeah. I that's just my best guess. I don't know if that's the right assumption.
I don't know. I mean, I guess. You would think that they would incorporate that at least.
Yeah.
You know what I think? Like, yeah. The Cinco de Mayo, no games. I mean, they had the Blackhawks, but they had the NHL on. But yeah. Then again, I think the NHL and the Cinco de Mayo probably are pretty far apart from each other.
Well, this just really goes out to say that the NBA playoff scheduling sucks.
It just takes so long.
There's no need, like, you know, the Miami-Boston series. Like you were saying, that they
played like 4 days off?
Yeah, come on.
Tuesday, what was it? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's 5 days.
I know. Their games started earlier, and yet LA and Dallas and Chicago and Atlanta are
all playing
tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, well, how long is a flight?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's not like, you know, if they were playing. If they were playing farther away, but this, I mean, come on, that's 5 days off. Like I said, even if you gave a good amount of time off, LA and Dallas and the Bulls and Atlanta are still playing ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, I just don't think there's a need for teams to have that much of a rest.
Some would argue that it would actually hurt them if you got momentum.
Exactly.
You know, a flight, 4 days at a hotel, and then the game. I mean, by the time you get on the court, you're out of your rhythm.
Right. And I feel like this explains why you see the Lakers and Celtics in the finals like almost every year. Because they're getting these days off.
Easy comebacks.
I know. These are older teams. And
they love the days off. They love it. They love it.
And they're, you wonder why they're always there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, and...
Now, what about Memphis? When do they play?
They play Saturday.
No, they also played...
They started the same day Miami and Boston.
I don't get it. I mean, you would think it would be the other way around.
I know. I don't understand. You know, I can't stand it. As a fan, I want to see basketball every day.
Yeah, especially when it's the playoffs. The fans hate to have days off.
The players...
I know, I do. The players do, too. I can see that, yeah. I know I hated it, like... You know, if you're in that, you know, you're in the playoff atmosphere, you want to be out there all the time. You want to keep it going.
The adrenaline's pumping.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And, you know, with that being said, I'm going to start with the Chicago-Atlanta series, because since it's the Bulls.
Of course. No, you're right.
Now, in my opinion, I don't know if Chicago's taking this team very serious. And quite frankly, I don't blame them, because I don't take the Hawks serious.
No, the only thing, I was talking to somebody at school, and they were right that, you know, a lot of those shooters, they're streaky, but if they get hot...
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you would think that, what story, we got that defensive mindset, you know?
Right.
But to be honest with you, I love the Bulls, and I want them to do good, and obviously they advance to the next round. They've won one game, they've lost another game in the second round, but can I be honest with you? I don't think the Bulls at all, except for, what was it, game 5 of the first round against the Pacers, they haven't played to my expectations. They've been playing sloppy, they've had to come back, they've been up and down. I figured at least against the Pacers, it would be more lopsided. And the Bulls are winning, but I'm going to have to say they're winning quite ugly.
Perhaps they're playing down to the competition. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't like that idea.
That's my guess. I really don't think they are, but it could be a possibility.
And you should make a statement like, you know, they rolled past the Pacers, rolled past, you know, Atlanta, and then you get to the big teams, you know, Miami, Boston, and hopefully whoever comes out of the West.
See,
you know, I make a statement.
I don't know. Like, if they made a statement against the Pacers, I don't know if people would take that. All that seriously, because it's the Pacers.
Right, but at the same time, I look at it and say, the Pacers had a lead. If they didn't blow it, you know, I mean, that's the thing. The Pacers had a lead. The Bulls were playing catch-up from really other than that one game where I turned the game on and they're up by 20.
Because I feel like this may be a good thing. Chicago plays well against the better teams
right.
and the elites anyway.
This is true.
And I remember, again, another Cleveland Cavaliers reference, but... They steamrolled the Detroit Pistons. They steamrolled the Atlanta Hawks. Both of them were sweeps. But then when they got to the Orlando Magic, a halt.
Yeah.
They played their best basketball for the first two rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a guarantee that they're actually saving up, oh, I would take it. Yeah. I would take these close games. Yeah. I would take it, you know. Like I always say in baseball, like I hate when one game they win like 10-3 and the next game they lose 2-0. I wish you could transfer those runs over, you know. So yeah, I mean, if this is what they're doing, kind of, you know, enough to advance but not getting too crazy, I would take that.
Yeah, and you know, with the Chicago Bulls, you know, again, like I said, I don't blame them if they're not taking the Hawks serious, because I look at this Atlanta Hawks team. And I've got a couple of things that come to mind. This is the most boring team to watch in the NBA, my opinion. I cannot watch the Atlanta Hawks for anything.
They're pretty boring. I don't know if they're the most boring. I would say there's a few teams I consider
perhaps
boring.
Perhaps the Spurs is what you're thinking?
And I don't know. You're going to hate me for saying this, I have a feeling, but the Bobcats.
I don't know why I would hate you for that. I just feel like
you were going to say something about that.
No,
I think
I don't watch Bobcat games.
Even when the Bulls play the Bobcats, like, I can't get into this.
Me neither.
I mean, Rose can score 100. I can't get into it.
I know. I was watching the Game 2, and I'm like, God, let's just go to the Dallas and L.A. game already.
I know. Like, I was definitely flipping channels on that game. I'm not going to lie. I was.
This team, though, the Atlanta, they do not have much discipline on offense. I know the coach, Larry
Jones. No, I remember when they had, they called a timeout, and you could hear what he was saying, and he was saying something like, I don't remember exactly what I said, but like, let's stop taking like stupid shots type of thing, you know. And I mean, you're right, they really don't. I recall some dumb shot was taken or something, and you're right, they are sloppy on offense.
Yeah, they, you know, and their so-called superstar Joe Johnson, I don't call him a superstar. And I know he had that great game in Game 1, but unfortunately for Atlanta, he does not show up like that.
Well, that's what I said, streaky.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not going to ever go anywhere if Joe Johnson is their superstar. I can guarantee that.
You're right.
They are not going anywhere. He's not aggressive enough to be a superstar.
Or now, consistent enough.
I know, I criticizes Derrick Rose for saying be aggressive too much. What else do you want him to say? It's the truth. You have to be aggressive against these teams.
You do.
He's just speaking the truth. And Joe Johnson, he does not do that. Derrick Rose does it. Joe Johnson doesn't. He's passive. He's too passive. And I've never heard of a passive superstar.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I mean, if you think about it, you're right.
I mean, come on. So they're not going to go anywhere now. Because Atlanta stole one game, they could potentially win both games in Atlanta because they have defended their home court
Well, this is what I said. When the Bulls lost that first game, and I was upset because I didn't actually get to watch it, but I got the score at half. And I found out the Bulls were up, and then I found out they lost it. Well, I said, we have to win the next one at home. And then I said, if we want to win the series, we have to win the next one at home, and then we have to win the first one on the road. I said, by game four, we have to be up 2-1.
Yeah, and, you know,
because I don't like losing the first game, and I definitely don't like losing at home. So I said, we have to win the next two after that first loss. I mean, in theory, could the Bulls win? Yes, but I really think that being up 2-1 for Game 4 is huge.
I think this series will wind up being tied 2-2 going back to Chicago. Like, I have a feeling Atlanta might win Game 3.
Oh, I bet they would be tied 2-2, but I would bet. I don't think the Bulls are going to be up 3-1.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would love it, but it won't happen. I don't think it will happen.
And, you know, speaking of teams capitalizing on the road, by the way, the Chicago-Atlanta game tonight on ESPN at 7 o'clock, I believe.
That's 7 o'clock Eastern.
Right. And, you know, the game following Chicago and Atlanta, personal favorite.
Yes. You know, it's so funny because you have hated on Dallas this whole time.
I know.
For as long as we've been talking about this, And they're helping you out.
They are doing you
a personal favor.
Let's just be honest, though. When has Dallas ever given me a reason to trust them?
And during the best time. I mean, let's be honest. This is the best time for Dallas to do this.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be right in my hot corner if they can pull this off.
Oh, my God.
Here's the problem. Dallas has been in this situation before. They were up 2-0 on the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, and then Dwayne Wade decided to take over the series.
But, well, you're right. I'm just happy that those two wins came on the road.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what makes it all much better. When you go to a Laker game, you expect the Lakers to win, especially in the playoffs. And for Dallas to play filthy and win those two games on the road?
You know, it's funny because over the years, I feel like L.A. has become more and more vulnerable at home. Because I have seen a lot of the elites go into their place and beat them. Like, regular season, and well, maybe not so much playoffs, but
This season, I would, for sure. I mean, this whole season, they've had some bad streaks.
Yeah.
Bad streaks.
And, you know, again, I know this might not mean much, but I personally don't think the team should fear the Lakers that much in the 7-game series. I feel like they can be beaten. Dallas is finally, I think...
Prove that?
Yeah, they're proving that. Because they've got the bigs, and that's a big help, to be honest. But I feel like all you need to do, and you might say this needs to be done with every other superstar, but because Kobe's one that likes to take over the game, I feel like if you could force him to take 30 shots, you're going to win the game. Now,
right.
Dallas, it's funny. They lost, the L.A. lost game 2, but Kobe only took, I believe, 18 shots, and they still lost.
Right.
And because of the defense of Jason Kidd down the stretch, you know, and I haven't been in favor of putting guys shorter on Kobe Bryant because he usually knocks shots down that way. But I keep forgetting Jason Kidd is an all-defensive player. He's
veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran. And, you know, Kobe made those turnovers, particularly in game 1. And I told myself, Kobe turns over the ball one more time in a clutch situation, I'm going to call him Butterfingers Bryant. And that's what he's been. I've seen, and this has just been in the regular season. Like, I know this is the first time he's done it in the playoffs, but he was doing this over the regular season where he was turning over the basketball.
Right.
So, and that's
turnovers are a killer.
Right, and that's uncharacteristic of him. So, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm going to have to call him Butterfingers Bryant.
Yeah, yeah.
Until he gets that fixed. You know, it's funny because my heart really wants to write off L.A., but because of the previous pass of Dallas, and
right,
because L.A., like the Dallas Mavericks, are a very good road team. So, you know, they could do what Dallas did to them. They could win 2 games in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't rule L.A. out at all. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's certainly a 2-0 cushion is nice, but the thing is, though, Dallas, they're at home, and they have to be motivated. They have to say, I don't care, or we don't care that we're up 2-0. We're at home. We want to win for the home crowd, and we you know, that's what they got to do. They can't get too relaxed at this point because, I mean, to be up 2-0 against L.A. in L.A. is a blessing, especially for the Mavs, given their postseason, you know, history, but they cannot relax now. They got to still play hard.
They need to go for the kill. They need to go for the sweep.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, as a Laker hater, I'm going to say that. But
right. They need to
put Kobe Bryant and company in their misery. Now, as
yes.
much as I like Phil Jackson, it's unfortunate that he's coaching for the wrong
yes,
team.
Yes, I agree. And that's, you know, a Bulls, that's another reason why the Bulls-Lakers finals would be pretty nice. Because, you know, everybody talks about, you know, Jackson starting here and ending there, and then Rose and Kobe and all that. But, you know, it's hard to say, you know, because I'm sick of the Lakers, and I'm sick of Boston. So for both of those teams to be in the situation they are now, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and with the Miami-Boston series, you know,
I never would have said that. I never thought that was going to come. I mean it.
Me neither.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody I can't believe there's really anybody. I mean, maybe a few, but for the most part, I can't see anybody. I don't care that Miami was at home. I don't care. Miami up 2-0. I don't know anybody who would have saw that coming.
Yeah, I know I didn't.
I mean, Boston's a team who can win at home, as we talked about last week. They have a great home crowd, but Boston is a good team. They can win on the road when they need to.
Always, like every playoff series I've watched this big three of Boston, they've always won one road game at least.
Yeah.
And this
I think that was a stat we talked about or that I saw or something like that.
Yeah, and again, I picked them to win the title, only not because I want them to, but just
win the East or win it all.
Just win it all.
Win
not,
it all.
Not because, you know, I want them to, but based off of last year, I really felt like.
Well,
LA
they're resilient.
Yeah, they have
the crowd. I mean, they have everything that, like, a classic playoff type team has. Resilient, can win on the road, experience, great coaching. Great fans. I mean, they have everything that, like, when you think of, like, a team who's always in the playoffs, a team that you never want to hit when you're in the playoffs, they're a perfect example of that.
And their most resilient superstar has really not shown resilience in these two games in Kevin Garnett. He's the guy who I never had to worry about bringing intensity. And
I haven't
seen that, and it really surprised me because I'm like, it's the Miami Heat. I know he doesn't like this team. He doesn't like any team.
Yeah.
But especially the Miami Heat, and he hasn't shown it. How in the world do you let Chris Bosh dominate him?
You're right.
It's
you're
unbelievable.
Right, you're right.
Now, I expect Boston to come back at home, probably win these two games. I mean,
I could see Miami winning one, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was tied 2-2. And can I be honest with you? If it gets tied 2-2, I could see Boston. I could they may lose a little bit in their path, but I could see them. I could see them wrapping that up.
Yeah,
in the series up. I mean, once it gets tied, and I would not be surprised because the thing is, Miami. I don't care what names are on that team. What I think of the Heat. For some reason, I still think Boston is a more aggressive, more playoff type team. I don't care that Miami has those three guys. I'm not as scared as them. I told you last week, if I'm scared of anybody between the two, Boston.
Hey, that's what I was saying. You know, really, if Boston's gonna lose this series, it's because Dwayne Wade is gonna continue to be aggressive like he has been.
He's been very aggressive
the first two games. If he's not aggressive, Boston's going to win. And, you know, I probably should have already had a caution on this series because LeBron James, I think, before game one said this series is personal. Now, you know, given LeBron James' track record, when he says something that's personal,
it is.
He's undefeated, I think. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
He's undefeated. And,
well, that's interesting. Personal, what about the issue you always talk about, his personal issue last year, huh?
I know. Why didn't he take...
Why did he have to...
That's why he's calling it personal. Maybe because he knows he quit.
Trying to redeem himself, at least for himself.
Yeah.
For his own goodwill.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe he needs to say that in every playoff series because he should take every series personal because every time he does, he plays well.
Yeah.
And there's pretty much a W translates out of him taking it personal. So, you know, I don't know why I didn't look into that, but I should have figured, oh, maybe Boss is not going to win this series with him coming out and saying that. But yeah, this is definitely a surprise. The way this is going, Miami's probably going to win
surprised.
This series.
I'm not going to lie. I'm very surprised.
And then the final series, OKC and Memphis.
The Thunder is an exciting team, but I think this has been a pretty boring series.
So have I.
All right, I'm not with you.
Yeah, I've not really. That's really the series I have paid least attention to.
Oh yeah, easily.
You know,
I've watched the most of the Bulls and the Lakers. I follow the Miami a lot, but. You know, like, not necessarily live, but, you know, on ESPN and the rolling scores and everything. But, you know, that Memphis Thunder, nope. I mean, I know the series is tied at one, and I know the Thunder lost the first one. I mean, I know that, and I know the games, I think, were pretty close, at least the first game. But you know what? I haven't, other than that, I really haven't paid any attention to it.
Yeah. And before we wrap up with NBA, we've got... Remember, Derrick Rose was announced the MVP. No surprises here.
I'm no. I'm not surprised. I know there's people who, who was it again? I forgot his name. Josh? Was that his name? I don't even remember his name. He sat here and said LeBron.
Jake Bass.
Yeah, whatever. Jake. I know it was something with a J, but I remember that, and I'm like, you know what? He's not. I said it's not about statistics. I mean, you know, Rose has good stats, but look what he's done. He's carried the team. I mean, you know, that's what I think they take into consideration as well. I mean, all those people listed there, for the most part, are good. Are pretty good statistically, but look at Rose. What Rose has done for his team, and I know you always made the case at least this season for Dwight Howard. I don't know anything he was going to win MVP, but like we were talking about, you know, how he's really the only one doing anything on his team.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this list. You know, I'm a little surprised LeBron James finished third. Because, I mean, look at the votes he got compared to Dwayne Wade. He got 522 total points. Dwayne Wade only gets 24? Oh, my God. Once again, the unappreciated superstar. This was the guy who got the Miami Heat off the losing trail.
And he's part of the reason why all those guys are on that team.
Yeah, and he's the reason they're going to go as far as they go because he's aggressive. I guarantee you if Dwayne Wade wasn't aggressive, Boston, well, maybe the series at least will be tied.
Tied, you're right. And, well, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And, you know, all right, so Kobe Bryant is fourth, Kevin Durant fifth. I felt like he probably should have been in fourth, considering OKC had a chance to be the number two seed. They got hot down the stretch. You got Dirk, D-Wade, Manu, Amari Stoudemire. And, you know, as much as I like this next player, how does Blake Griffin get MVP votes? For the Los Angeles Clippers?
No. I mean, that's a joke. I mean, I know he's fun to watch, but he's a perfect example of why NBA All-Star Weekend exists.
Yeah.
He fits right into that. But MVP?
That's what I'm saying. Someone gave him one third place vote. Like, come on, hey, the Clippers were 32-50.
No. No.
I mean, come on. No. I want to know.
Like Kobe said, really?
Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Really? I don't understand. Blake Griffin's a phenomenal.
He's got more points than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think Chris Paul is this or that, I mean, still, over Blake Griffin, yes.
Yeah, Chris Paul barely snuck onto the ballot. Right. Like, come on.
Two votes, and they were fifth place.
He finishes ahead of Rondo, Parker, and Chris Paul.
Yes.
All these teams made the playoffs.
This is so... I mean, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Give him a rose. Give those points a rose.
Yeah. Are you really? It was just unbelievable. I just had to throw that out there. But, yes, we're going to head to MLB. We're going to focus particularly on the Chicago teams, particularly with the Chicago White Sox. And as Dave and I and other White Sox fans know, we're obviously not doing very well right now.
Nope.
We're hitting 236 as a team, which, believe it or not, is not the worst in the American League.
It's surprising. You know what it is? It's got to be stranding runners because, it's amazing. Like, Pierzynski had, maybe 254 average on that last game they played against Minnesota. I'm thinking to myself, how is his average even 200? I haven't seen him do anything all year long.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's only been, let's just be honest, the only two players that have actually done
Quinton and Konerko.
Yeah, and I'm glad Konerko is playing because
what happened about anything, Paulie, I love Paulie. He's underrated. He's underrated. He's very other than when he was semi-injured in 08 and his awful 2003 season, he's consistent with the glove. He's consistent with the bat. You know, he's going to get 30 home runs. He's going to have a good amount of RBIs. He always picks those balls. I mean, when I think it was maybe last season, definitely the last season or the season before that, Ramirez had terrible, terrible throws. A lot of those would have been passed, but Paulie makes the pick.
And you know, also, before, are you also still an AJ fan? I know you were.
Yes.
All
yes.
right, cool.
I like AJ. He's not doing anything, but I you know, and even his attitude just isn't the same as it was in the past, which made me like him. But I'm to answer your question, yes.
Yeah, and White Sox are in the middle of the pack. I think really it's their relief pitching that hurts them more. Their starting pitch is not too bad. It's just
now at this point, it's funny, and this is a problem the Sox have had. You know, even regardless of how good or bad they've been, the problem with them is they're never clicking on all cylinders at the same time. And this happens every season. The starting pitching is good. They can't hit. They start to hit, and some form of pitching, whether it be the starters giving up too many runs or the relievers blowing it, and they can never come together for a good amount of time to call them a team that runs on all cylinders.
Yeah, you know, and especially with their offense, I promise you, it's been like 4 years straight I feel like I've heard of
slow starts.
Yes, offense, not clicking. Like, come on.
Right. We'll just pick it up in June. Okay, that's a month before the All-Star break. Here's the thing, though, this is an argument I make all the time, and that's in April, those games still count. And
yeah,
if you're losing,
do.
And now they're carrying it into May. If you're losing, that's not going to help you. And I heard someone say this, that with all the losses the White Sox have had now, that means to even have a chance, they're not going to be able to have a little losing streak later on.
No, they're going to,
last year they didn't make the playoffs, and that was still even after a 25-5 run. They still missed the playoffs, and who's to say that that's going to happen again?
Yeah, I think.
People have to wake up and start to realize that, even though on paper they're probably the best team in that division, even though we all know the Twins always come out and play fundamentally strong baseball and are always up there, you got to look. They're in a hole. I don't care that they're the best team on paper. They're not playing like it.
They're hoping for a benefit of the schedule like last year, probably.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Even that 25-5 run, I have two letters for you. NL. Oh, my God. We beat the Pirates.
Yeah, the Nationals.
I mean, come on. You know, it's, you know, the NL, you're beating up on the NL. And I feel like, you know, this is going to be some interesting interleague. I'm excited to see, because I don't even think the White Sox, they're not going to be maybe this bad, but I don't think that they're going to dominate the NL like they did last year.
Oh, no. I mean, the weak teams they beat last year are better.
Yeah, and this year they're playing the Dodgers. I know they're playing the Dodgers. I don't even know who else they're playing, to be honest with you. I just know they're playing the Dodgers. And, you know, this Cubs-Sox series, oh, man, this is going to be pretty interesting.
You know what?
It's going to be like the opposite of 08 when both those teams are doing good. Now it's going to be like the battle of, like, mediocre teams.
Yeah, I can't say who's going to win that series, honestly. I really don't know.
No, I don't know. I think it's going to be just whoever is hotter at that time.
Yeah,
that's all it's going to be. That's all it's going to be. I always give the edge to the Sox, but it's going to be whoever is hotter at that time. You know, the Cubs, their offense, I mean, really, the Cubs, to me, are a boring team.
I'm not afraid of that many people. I used to be afraid of Aramis Ramirez.
Aramis Ramirez and Derek Lee scared me. But I look at the team now, and I'm just like, who do they have? Soriano, home run or nothing. He's home run or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, Colvin, he has some good. No, Barney, I never count him for a hit. He's good in the field, but for a hit, no.
Yeah.
Aramis Ramirez, he's gone down. You know, I mean, Fukudomi, streaky. I mean, he could ground out or he could hit doubles down the right field line. I mean, I think that if you pitch well in that series, you're going to win it.
Shouldn't be a problem because, you know, there are a few guys for the White Sox, you know. Well, Philip Humber, he's pitched very well.
You gotta love that the guy that people are like, who in the world is that?
Yeah.
And Peavy's replacement is probably, I'm not even going to look at the stats, but I'm just guessing he probably has probably the most wins or some good statistic out there. I'm just guessing. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but
he's got the best ERA on the team. His is just a tick above three, just a tick.
Yeah, you know, I think that's hilarious.
And you know, the guy who I obviously, Dave.
Johnny Danks.
Yes. Johnny Danks. The guy who I think should be the ace of the staff. You know, I know Mark Burley's good, but...
He's getting older. Yeah. He's getting older. I mean, Burley's gone downhill. Actually, ever since he got that new contract, he's been going downhill.
Well, I remember last year he was talking about perhaps retiring.
Well, he said after his contract is up, if he doesn't like the teams that are interested in him, he's not going to play.
Yeah, and...
And, you know, he's always wanted to be a Cardinal.
You know what? I wonder where he would fit in that rotation.
Well, I think so Burley pitchers. Would look good in the Cardinals.
No, right? I mean, but I wonder, like, the Cardinals, they do have pitchers now. I mean, you know, he's not going to replace Carpenter. He's not going to replace Wainwright.
I don't think
he's going to replace Garcia over there. Trying to think. He might replace Kyle Loesch. I think he has a... But at best, he's probably going to be a 4 or 5 starter.
For sure. I mean, I agree with that. But, hey, if he wants to play for the Cardinals, there you go. Yeah. Right there for a starter. But I wouldn't be surprised. And, yes, John Danks should be the ace. And on top of it, I don't know if this was Danks being very good or the Twins just being stupidly aggressive. I think he picked off maybe 3, 4, 5 base runners on that game, on that last game. I mean, I know he got spanned at probably about twice. I mean, you know, he's a lefty, so that helps. He's got a good pickoff move. And, I mean, yeah, Danks should be, and definitely should be the ace of staff. And you look at 2008, the last time the White Sox won the postseason, game 163, Danks. They lost every game, but the game he pitched.
That's what they won, even in the playoffs. He won their only game in the playoffs against Tampa.
Let me be honest here. If he didn't pitch game 163, this season is over.
Yeah. Yes. He's a clutch pitcher. Seriously, if he was... He's become my favorite.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
If he was just on a better offensive team.
Oh, my God. If he had run support, even if the White Sox gave him run support. I mean, yeah, you know, if he went to, you know, the Yankees or whatever. But even if the White Sox gave him run support, he would be up there. Maybe he'd be up there with Sabathia and Price. Those guys, those 18, 19, 20 game winners, but I think he hovers around at best maybe 14, 15 games.
Yeah, and that's not his fault a lot of times. I mean,
he pitches better than that.
John Danks, you know, when he's out on the mound, I'm like, all right, we have a really good chance of winning.
Now, it's just a matter of the offense at that point.
Every once in a while, he might have a bad start. You know, he had one bad start
Baltimore,
this year against
Baltimore. And he always has trouble against Minnesota.
He actually pitched very well.
He did. You're right. But in general, if there's one team that I would give him going into it saying we may lose is a Twins, but he can beat, you know, the Yankees and Boston and Anaheim and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean the man is 0-5. Like, maybe I want to say all but two of his starts. I wish they would actually have the quality starts on MLB.com, but they don't.
Yeah, well, you just got to look up the box scores and see if he threw 3 or less runs. But,
exactly.
You know, I mean, if I'm Danks, I'm thinking, you know what, this organization's in disarray. I want to get traded to a team, you know, that is a better organization and that can give me a run of support, because I'm looking. I mean, it would be crazy if he went, like, you know, 1-8 and won Cy Young or something like that. Because, you know, and this is exactly why I don't look at win-loss ratio on a pitcher. I mean, last year, Phil Hughes was pretty good. I mean, we know that. But do you know he also had some of the most, if not the most, run support? I look at Danks. I watch him all the time. I don't care what his win-loss ratio is at this point, which is 0-5. He should be 4-1.
Yeah.
He should be 4-1.
I'm looking just down the line. All right, Cleveland, 2 runs he gave up. Then Tampa gave up 4. Oakland gave up 1. Tampa Bay again gave up 2. Detroit just 3. Baltimore, that's where
he had his bad. Yeah, I think that 1-run game was the game that the bullpen imploded.
Yeah. And he's given you 6 innings every time, at least.
And this guy is like Burley and a strikeout pitcher, because he can get the ground ball outs, but he can also strike you out. I mean, he's a lefty, and you know what? You know, like I said, with the pickoff move, That's an important part of his game.
And I feel like John Danks, I know you made the comparison with Burley, but Burley likes to give up hits. And
he's a contact. If he's going to get out, it's going to be ground balls.
I feel like what's the weakest part of John Danks, perhaps, is he'll have a tendency to give up the long ball every now and then. But I feel like he...
Yeah, but if I'm picking one pitcher on that Sox team that I want, it's Danks.
Oh, of course.
You know,
you have no arguments for me whatsoever.
It's not even close.
I stated on Mobile Day, John Danks should be the ace of this staff. Sure. I'm not taking that back whatsoever.
No, who else should be?
Well,
can you even make an argument for anybody else? Burley is going downhill. Jackson is inconsistent. Floyd is a three month pitcher. In the beginning, he's bad. At the end, he's bad. And Jake Peavy, if you can't play, yeah. I can't judge.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like he's the best pitcher in the world, but he doesn't have an arm to pitch with. What good is that?
Yeah,
you know. It's just like Crawford. You know, like, and that's one reason that, you know, I wasn't mad when the Yankees didn't get him. He's fast, but he's getting older. Without his legs, you know, I'm not looking forward to him on the team. That's saying Danks clearly is the best pitcher on this team, and he's one of the top pitchers in the game. He's also the most underrated pitcher, at least in the American League, at least.
Yeah, I think it's funny every time I bring up John Danks to Kelly, and he always gives White Sox players flack. But
no, he's wrong, and he's wrong.
No, he does. It's funny. He doesn't. I can tell.
He admits.
Yeah, like
that
he says he's okay, which to me is like, yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he's never gonna actually admit. I mean, when he says it's okay, that means he's good.
Yeah, exactly.
He's never gonna be like, oh yeah, he's and he's never gonna go like crazy over there.
Exactly.
Just like I love Tommy. Oh, I hate Tommy. And I love him again. I know you didn't like him from 06 to 09, right?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, as a matter of fact, we'll say that for the end of the show. But we're going to now head to the NFL. You know, there was some tweets from Rashard Mendenhall. He's an NFL running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He went to the University of Illinois, for some of you who don't know. And, you know, obviously, it would be an understatement to say that Osama bin Laden's death was not a big deal. And, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, you know, this isn't the first time he's commented on an issue.
No, I want to say something about how the NFL is the equivalent of slavery.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. It's not the first time he said it. Anything controversial. And,
right.
You know, he's saying, well, this is unfortunately just like the only quote I have in front of me right now, but he's like, what kind of person celebrates death? It's amazing how people can hate a man they have never even heard speak. We've only heard one side. But I don't think that's the big issue at all that people have. It's that what he said was that he's not buying, like, he's not seeing how planes can take down a skyrocket such as...
Skyscraper, such as the
World Trade Center, and he doesn't even think Osama's really behind this all. Now, Dave, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, total disagreement. A plane, especially that kind of plane, will take out a building. I think it was interesting that you know, the building, it was hit, and then it went down like that, just kind of fell down, you know, like that, not toppled over, but just kind of submerged. But I disagree with that. And, you know, there was always that talk that bin Laden was not behind 9/11 or something like that. But when it happened, he said that he was not part of it. He had nothing to do with it, but he... congratulated the people who were supposedly behind it. Either way, you look at his track record, I mean, you know, regardless of it, you know, we all know what kind of person bin Laden is, you know, that he promotes that kind of stuff from those people.
You know, I think I heard that he actually released a video really saying that he did do it, as far as I'm concerned, because I think...
I don't know. I mean, you may be right. I've always heard... The last thing that I heard from him was that he had nothing to do with it, but he was you know, he was congratulating the people who did do it. But then I think you're right, because I also heard something. Was it him or someone that said, what happened here surpassed my expectations?
See, and what really leads me to believe, I know this is an unusual example, but, you know, Family Guy tends to make a lot of spoofs about current events of what's been going on.
Oh, yeah.
They made one about Osama bin Laden. I remember it was like Stewie.
Wait, he goes into his cave?
Yeah, he goes into his cave.
It's at the beginning of the show,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? This is familiar. I think he did make a video saying that, you know, he was behind all of this and was bragging or gloating about it, from what I've heard. Now, at that time, I was very young and
either
really
way,
he, understand.
Yeah,
so
regardless, he was certainly happy, because I've heard both sides where he said he was behind it. And it surpassed his expectations. And I've also heard that he had nothing to do with it, but he congratulates the people who actually were behind it and did, you know, execute the plan.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's very hard really to agree with his opinion. I know everyone's entitled, but. You know.
Man, this is, well, I wish I could swear on the show, man, but it's just like, you know, it's just like, you know, and my English teacher from senior years said it right, and that, you know what, there are opinions, there are, and you know, this is why, you know, everybody, this is an opinion. Okay, you know what, that means that anything goes, anything says goes. You, someday you just have to say, you know what, that is ridiculous, and I agree that, you know, celebrating, I know, like we talked about that, you know, it's funny that America comes together to celebrate a guy's death, and once that's over, you know, but, and we should be united a little bit more than just when, you know, we're, you know, going on our terrorist hit list. And I'm happy that bin Laden is gone, but at the same time, I just wish that, you know, we were a little bit more united than just when this happens.
Now, you know, just from what I'm thinking, I know there were people, particularly on Facebook, I will not name names, who were saying, like, you know, you should forgive your enemies, you know, it's your friends that are, like, I don't remember.
All right, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And
well, no, there's certain things that I won't forgive and I won't forget.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it gets to the point, I mean, you know, if someone, I don't know, then pay me back $2. Okay, you know, I mean, but you can't compare that to 9/11.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know what? I didn't bring your money today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then you never see them again. You know, you can't compare that to, you know, I crashed two planes into the world.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
you can't compare.
Can.
You know, you can't. I mean, it gets to the point where you have to draw the line. Now, of course, getting back to opinions, people draw the line at different places, but I think that there's a difference between getting revenge and not forgiving and forgetting. Now, see, I usually don't forgive and forget certain things, but I'm not usually the type of person who get revenge. I think it's bad karma, but it's still at the back of my mind. I'm not happy with what happened. You know what I mean?
You know, I feel like certain cases do have to be a benefit of the doubt. I have no problem whatsoever with the people celebrating. That's just me, because, let's just be honest.
Well, I know if I had a relative or a friend who died in 9/11, I know every day I would wake up, I would be upset. I mean, that, you know I would. I mean, I think people are unhappy when their relatives die, period, but especially an event like this where it wasn't like
happened.
They were just old or they were sick.
Just out of nowhere.
Right.
Like,
you know, the one day they go to work and,
that's
why I always say, that whoever took off a sick day was lucky.
Oh, I heard. It
was
funny.
Lucky.
This wasn't a sick day, but I think Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be on one of those flights, you know, the creator of Family Guy.
Yeah.
And I think he missed his flight, and that was the flight that crashed.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who are lucky, and it's funny because I got my family, it's interesting because with my mom, she would never, she's like, I don't care, you're sick, you're going to school. And then with my dad, knowing him, we would miss an airplane. So it's funny. If I was with my dad, we would have missed a flight. But if I was with my mom, you're going to work.
Yeah, exactly. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like Osama or Usama. I don't know why they call him Usama, but
yeah, I don't know why. I saw his name spelled with a U a few days ago. I don't get that.
I know. Yeah, I guess. guess there's two different variations of the spelling.
We'll play it safe and just say Bin Laden.
Yeah, Bin Laden. He didn't show any remorse. I mean, most villains, if they commit a crime, they're usually, at the end of the day, because they're caught, they're like, okay, I apologize, I'm sorry for what
I did.
No,
he was happy, and he wanted more. He wanted to capitalize on this. He wanted to continue.
He was ruthless.
Yeah.
So, why should I be sad?
Oh, I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, I'm not. I think this is a situation where I don't blame people at all for being happy.
No, and what the craziest thing is, though, him and the similar people like him take something like religion and use it as a way of saying, if you don't agree, you're gone.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sick, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous, and, you know, that's why they're called extremists. I mean, this is pretty extreme.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. Well, not really, but you get what I'm saying.
No,
it's ironic that, you know, before I was walking out the door this morning, I know I saw there were some rail threats, you know.
Yeah.
I know I told you
this.
Yeah,
you mentioned, yeah.
this is very... this certainly doesn't surprise me. Well, I felt like they would try to avenge...
Well, this is what I said when we were watching... me and my dad were watching Sunday Night Baseball. and you know, they announced the news, and I'm like, wait, did this just happen? Or, like, you know, and it was breaking news. So, and I said, you know what? I'm happy, but at the same time, I'm scared. These people are not rational. Clearly, their whole way is irrational. You can never predict them. And I was thinking, you know what? It's good that he's gone, but at the same time, retaliation could be around the corner, and I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, I don't know. This is just a weird thought, but I felt like sometimes, I don't know if you've ever thought this, but do you feel like if more people retaliated and people knew that retaliation was coming, that there would be less evil in this world? I know this is completely off the sports.
Yes.
Subject, but
yes. All for sure. I totally agree with that. I feel I definitely agree with that. But it's funny. While I agree with that, I don't agree with this thing that, and I even think that Roosevelt even advertises this, because you guys have all those advertisements for, like, discussing different topics.
Certainly.
And it was something like, I agree with that. But at the same time, I mean, that's true. If you know what the consequences are, you're not gonna, I mean, it's just like, especially at a Catholic school, if you know you're gonna get a Saturday jug, you may not do what you want to do. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, while I agree with that, it's weird. I actually disagree with the idea of if everybody had a gun, you know, we would be safer. Because
there's people
who aren't gonna kill. I don't. You could give my mom a machine gun. She'll never use it. She will never use it. And there's people who are like that. You know, you give the blind a gun. What good is that going to do?
Yeah.
I agree that if people are aware of consequences, even in small situations, not just terror, you know, but like I said, within schools, I agree that. But at the same time, I disagree with this idea of if everybody had a gun, it would be safer. Because there's going to be people who are just going to be like, I'm afraid to use it, you know, and that's why I disagree with that.
I know in Illinois, we speak of gun laws and people own, I think
they're
pushing on trying to pass it through the Senate to make it illegal to carry one, at least a concealed weapon.
Yeah, I know New York is very strict on their gun policies.
Right, but yeah, that was the more serious side of this show.
Yes.
Once again, we went the whole show without taking a break.
I know, I need a water break.
I swear, every time I do say we're going to try to go break free.
Jinx.
Yeah,
jinx.
Yeah, so I'm just not going to say it anymore.
Right, right.
But, Sid will be back next week.
And I just want to say, tomorrow is Saturday, and it's my brother's graduation, so after 5 years, 2 schools. He's graduating college tomorrow, and he's going to roll right into a very nice full time job. So he's one of the lucky ones.
Congratulations, Dave. I'm glad to hear that. You know, Didn't you say your brother was, like, into the connections with sports and whatnot? Like,
yeah, he, it's funny. He doesn't have a job in sports, but he knows, you know, some of the MLB, some of the NHL. But totally different direction. It's accounting.
Yeah.
He's a numbers guy.
Yeah. Hey, so am I. I like numbers, you know. Facts and numbers, that's all what I'm about.
Statistics.
Exactly. But, yeah. I want to say this might not be the last time we'll be seeing each other today, because I know our good friend Kelly has offered.
I was told I got to get the details on that.
Yeah, so do I. He's wants to hang out today. So, you know, I'll probably be seeing you shortly or whatever time he plans. But, I think what I'm going to do is, after this, I'm going to immediately head to Lou Malnati's for some good old deep dish / thin crust pizza.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, but, you know, anything else?
Go Reds today.
hey, you know what? I'm assuming my uncle's listening, so I'm sure he's meeting you all the way with that statement.
That's good.
So, I guess I can say, you know, if you guys are listening, go on Facebook, Sports Talk with Lamar Said, like the page. You know, we also post that podcast as much as possible. You know, last week we really couldn't post last week's show because it did not appear in the cachet, but, you know, I'm planning to upload it this week. So if you get a chance, check it out. The podcast is also on the Facebook fan page as well. But, you know, with that being said, it's a very lovely day on Friday.
Yeah, you got the whole day to enjoy it.
Indeed.
And I know you're out of school.
Yes, I am. You know, we're going to head out of here. You know, I'm Lamar.
And I'm Dave.
And this is Sports Talk with Lamar and Sid.
Except for today.
And in the words of Sid, Abba.